If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
And your home for Royals baseball.
Fastball hit high in the air, deep left field, way gone into the bleachers. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
Watch The Drive by subscribing on our YouTube channel or listen on demand with the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is always going to stand on principles. Dippin' Dots are incredible. Red Lobster is the best restaurant that America has to offer. And baked beans are trash.
You're listening to Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan. Here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. And do we have a lot to get into coming up in today's show? Coming up in about an hour, we're going to be joined by someone in the Kansas City Business Journal. There's certainly a lot of business to talk about related to the local sports teams. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. We're going to be joined by Matt Tate. Rob is super decked out today. Now, you guys know that Rob is a Kansas basketball season ticket holder. He's got a hat. He's got a little golf polo that he has buttoned up to the absolute top button. He's going to the game today, and Rob is excited that Darren Peterson is going to play. Now, they have not announced that he is going to play or not, but they have released an injury report. So they do injury reports now. Yes, the same way that they have them in the National Football League, they do injury reports when it comes to college athletics because, you know, gambling and all of that. And Darren Peterson was not on the injured list today. So the expectation is that he is going to play later tonight going up against TCU. I am here to tell you guys that if you have been unable to afford to take your little one to a Kansas basketball game, tonight is the night to go. Rob and I were looking at it. Rob's tickets that he has right now for his season tickets, they're going for $11 right now on StubHub. Now, Rob is not going to sell you his two tickets to the game. He's going to use those tickets. But if you want to take little Timmy out to the Kansas basketball game because you've never had the opportunity to, let me tell you, tonight, it's fun for the whole family. You don't even got to pay to park at KU games if you know what you're doing, Rob. Go down there to Burger Bar off Mass Street. Always a great time. Find you somewhere to park in the city, walk to the game, and you can watch the Kansas basketball team play. Family of four, less than $50 today if you want to take them out to the game. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Again, my name is Carrington. Rob is here taking you up until 6 o'clock. We're going to get to the Royals here coming up momentarily, but I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you guys listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. And number three, and most importantly, I need you guys to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. We got five great days of football coming up starting on Thursday with the college football semifinals. Best place to sit there and watch the games, grab a bite to eat, grab something to drink, and catch up with all the matchups is with our friends over at The Other Place. So I want to read to you guys a story. And this story right now is on the front page of the Fox 4 website. Now, this story is other places, but we love and support Fox 4 on this show. The Kansas House Speaker on Monday doubled down on his view that the Royals have missed their December 31st deadline to take advantage of the Kansas Stadium Star Bond package that is going to help finance a new Chiefs stadium in Wyandotte County. Now, I'm not going to read to you every single part of this story, but I will read you a couple of quotes. Now, I want you to think very logically about this when it comes to the Royals. Now, I want you to remove any personal feelings or biases or any of those things, and I just want you to focus in on the facts. Rob, did you know that Kansas is the 35th most populated state in the union? Every state that has fewer people than Kansas does not have a professional sports team. Now, some of these are in different situations and not in the unique situation where Kansas directly touches a state where the suburbs of that place, a lot of people consider it to be Kansas, but you follow here. Kansas is the 35th most populated state. Every state after them does not have a professional sports team. Kansas wants me to believe that there is a world in which a Major League Baseball team, I don't care who it is, it could be the Royals, it could be the A's, it could be the Chicago White Sox. They want me to think that there is a world in which a team calls the Royals or calls the state of Kansas and says, we want to move to the state of Kansas, and Kansas would be, oh no, you've missed your deadline. Now, Kansas in this statement is talking real tough, and we'll talk about why I think they're talking tough, or maybe more specifically why Dan Hawkins is talking tough. Quote, we put an end to all of that on December 31st. Believe me, I was not kidding when I said that, Dan. No one believes you. Now, I don't think the Royal Stadium is going to be in Kansas, but I am telling you that if the Royals go to the state of Kansas and say that we have made our decision and we plan on building a stadium on the land that we own, Kansas will openly accept them. They don't have a choice. Dan Hawkins, quote, we put an end to all of that on December 31st. Believe me, I was not kidding when I said that. We've gotten a speedway that's been paid off. We have the whole Legends area that would have never happened. And look at all the money that has come out of that now. Now, this is the most important part of all of this. And this is the commentary part that I will give you. Kansas is talking like the state that got exactly what they wanted. Sure, they would like the Royals. They really wanted the Chiefs. They have been courting the Chiefs. When you think of all of the public statements that have come out of the last year and a half or so, they've all been related to the Chiefs. That has been their number one and prime objective. They are doing some really cool things out there by the Legends. They're about to turn old Schlitterbahn into a new amusement park with Great Wolf Lodge and the stadiums and the festivals that happen now at Legends Field where the T-Bone / Monarchs play, with Nebraska Furniture Mart and everything at the Legends. Like, they are doing some really cool stuff out at Wyandotte County. This is now their crown jewel. It's almost like they have been building up that part of the state and that part of the Kansas City Metro for this moment. Like, they knew exactly when the lease was up with Jackson County and they were going to make a very hard push to attract the Kansas City Chiefs. And it worked. You won. Sure, the deal's not 100% signed, but I strongly believe, and there's no reason not to, that the Chiefs are going to complete a deal with the state of Kansas and Wyandotte County, and that's where they're going to be, somewhere over there. I don't know exactly where, but somewhere. They will be somewhere near where the Kansas Speedway is. Now, the Royals are a little bit of a different question, but I am telling you, Kansas does not have the leverage in this situation, regardless of how much they want to convince you that they do. they are waiting for the Royals, and that this is a negotiation tactic between two sides. The Royals are certainly taking their sweet time, and after how it failed almost 2 years ago, I don't blame them. The next time that the Royals take a shot, I want them to make sure they don't miss. So if that's putting something on the ballot in Jackson County, if that's putting something on the ballot in Kansas City, Missouri, or if that's making the move over to 119th and all, you get one more shot at this. You cannot miss. So this deadline is not real to me. Nothing they're saying is real to me. If you are a state like Kansas and a Major League Baseball team tells you we are moving to your state, you do everything in your power to accommodate them and be great hosts. That is how you handle it. Now, it is also important to note in all of this. So this is the person who talked to Fox 4. Speaker Hawkins, who took over the chair, told our Fox 4 that he is moving on from the star bonds. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Royals still can't cut a deal just using a different metric and that the both sides are still negotiating between the state of Kansas and also the Kansas City Royals. So on one side of this, please don't buy into this and do not think that this now eliminates 119th and all from a possible site for the Kansas City Royals. Now, I will say this, and Rob, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this as someone who lives over on the Kansas side and would be relatively close to the stadium, the proposed idea for the stadium. I think you've seen a renewed energy from Kansas City, Missouri, and a renewed energy from Jackson County in the last 14 days or so about the future of the Kansas City Royals. And you have seen more push and more energy and more conversation around a possible downtown stadium. You guys know my stance on this. There's only one place that would energize the city. I don't want the Royal Stadium on 119th and all as much as I don't want the Royal Stadium in North Kansas City. If the Royals are going to move from their current location, and they have told us at every single turn that that is their plan, that that is their future, then they need to be somewhere in downtown Kansas City. Now, we might disagree on where you think that should be, but it should be somewhere in downtown Kansas City. So if the East Village idea is back up and running, and Mayor Quentin Lucas said that yesterday in a press conference, that the East Village idea is not completely closed, whether it's Washington Square Park, whether it's having another conversation about the Crossroads, whatever it is, I just know that the Royals need to be in downtown Kansas City, Missouri, and that is the only way that I will accept that this story is going to end. So we don't have to spend all day on it. I don't have 4 hours of stadium conversation. We'll certainly pop in and out as we are trying to figure out what the Royals are going to do. But please don't let Kansas fool you and now talk tough because you got an NFL team. Stop it. We don't believe you. You need more people. If the Royals want to move over there, Dan Hawkins would be at the front of the line celebrating what a massive win for the state of Kansas this is, because it would be a massive win for the state. Kansas has less than 3 million people. Less than 3 million people live in Kansas, and you got a chance to have an NFL team and a Major League Baseball team. You will figure out the money. You can always figure out the money. You will 100% figure all of that out. Coming up on the other side, I do want to bounce back and forth today. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. I got a question, Rob, and I'd rather just get this question out early because I know as longer as the show gets and more you got to work, you get a little bit ornery. I don't think Isaiah Pacheco is coming back. I'd be very interested to hear how you guys are going to remember Isaiah Pacheco's career in Kansas City and as it's come to a close. We'll talk about that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit NationalDebtRelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, Rob, coming up in a bit, I want to get to some of the things that Nate Taylor had to say when he joined the Midday Show. Shout out to Nate Taylor. Let's talk about this. Now, I want to get this out of the way early in the show, Rob, because I know around 4:15, 4:30, you got to cut more audio. You got to take more phone calls. You got to upload the podcast page. Sometimes you get a little surly. And I get it, you know? Nobody wants to work at work, you know? How do you think people are going to remember Isaiah Pacheco? Because there was a time, I remember that Isaiah Pacheco was one of the more popular players on the team. Now, I'm not saying he was a Kelce or a Mahomes or a Chris Jones, but it wasn't that long ago that the Chiefs were winning Super Bowls and Isaiah Pacheco was at the front dancing all in the videos. There wasn't that long ago when Isaiah Pacheco was getting memed and people were laughing and we loved his run style and he was little poppy and all people used to love Isaiah Pacheco. There really is two versions of Pacheco. Man, the version that they had the first 2 years was a very productive, capable running back. As a rookie, 170 carries for 830 yards and 5 touchdowns. His second year, 205 carries, 935 yards, 7 touchdowns, could catch the ball out of the backfield, could pass block, could do the little things that you needed them to do, and they won a Super Bowl with Isaiah Pacheco as their running back. And then the second half of the contract has completely fallen apart. He had 310 yards last year, in a very injury-riddled season, and this past year, he had 462 yards rushing in another injury-filled season, and he wasn't the best running back on their roster. There really is a before the injury with Isaiah Pacheco and an after the injury with Isaiah Pacheco. This is what I don't fault him for, and I think that he was unfairly put in a situation. I think it was kind of clear at the end of year three that the Chiefs needed to move in a different direction, and it was time to move on from Isaiah Pacheco. Now, they rolled the dice, and they gambled that Pacheco could go back to being the same running back that he was. And basically, their entire run game philosophy was that Pacheco was going to bounce back. They were wrong. He didn't. I mean, this organization spent the 251st pick on Isaiah Pacheco. So regardless of how the last 2 years have gone, the fact that they got almost 1,800 yards rushing in the first 2 years with the 251st overall pick is an overwhelming win. The fact that there was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, where we looked at their offense and said they only got three guys that you can count on. One is Rashee Rice, one is Travis Kelce, and one is Isaiah Pacheco is an overwhelming positive. And I think what you saw is after the injury, he just wasn't the same. One of the flaws that I think we all have, and I put myself in this conversation, is whenever a guy gets hurt and then he comes back and he's healthy, or a guy gets hurt and then he gets surgery, we think you come back and you were good as new. And that was not the case with Isaiah Pacheco. He was never healthy in the second half of last season and probably shouldn't have come back. I think that messed with his mental. I think physically he wasn't the same player. He certainly hasn't run with the same reckless abandon the last couple of years. And then this year, when they were asking him to be that same guy that helped you go to a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, he doesn't have that ability. He doesn't have that ability anymore. He's not that guy anymore. The Chiefs held on to Isaiah Pacheco a season too long. And that is much more of an organization flaw to me than it is about Isaiah Pacheco. I'm going to remember Pacheco as a tough, hard runner who was really good in the teammate, who was a really good guy to be around. And just, he was a joke that you kept telling too many times. That was really funny the first couple of times. But by the third and fourth time that you've heard the joke, it had just lost all of its effectiveness. And I don't think that that's his fault. Regardless of what happens this offseason with Isaiah Pacheco, I'm going to have very positive feelings about the kind of player that he was and the impact that he had on the roster when he was healthy. And I'm not going to hold it too much against him from years once we get further removed from this thing. I'm not really going to hold it too much against Pacheco these last 18 months or so because I firmly believe that the organization put him in a bad spot these last 2 years.
I really hope you're correct. Because that's how he should be remembered. He should go down as a guy who ended up being a success story as a seventh-round pick. Like, it's a little bit cross. You'll understand the analogy. If Breshard Smith has the career that Isaiah Pacheco had in Kansas City, that's a win from a seventh-round pick running back. That's how I hope that he gets remembered. I just worry because of the injury in 24 and him being bad in 25 and the run game being the major issue in 25 and all those things, if there's going to be a sour taste in fans' mouths. Now, time heals all wounds. Like, you know, when Daniel Sorensen eventually left Kansas City, most people said, see you later, good riddance. But I think fans eventually remember, oh, the block, the fourth down stop on the fake punt for the Texans, those sorts of things. The way you're describing him is how he should be described. I think he should be the way that Royals fans view Paulo Orlando. When times were good, he's good. When times are bad, he's not good enough to elevate you out of bad times. And there's nothing wrong with that from a seventh round running back. But I do worry that 2025 was so bad and he was part of the reason it was so bad. And the run game was this monstrosity that they're going to point to him and say, well, 2025 was bad, and one of the reasons is they bet on Isaiah Pacheco, which will be unfair to his NFL career.
I do think when it comes to Pacheco, and this is like me not throwing no shade at you, Rob, I promise. I do think that Isaiah Pacheco kind of represents a flawed thinking and maybe an archaic way of thinking of the running back position. When you and I first started this journey, you were really big on turn and burn. Don't spend big-time resources on a running back. You can find one in the fifth, sixth round. You can get as much as you can about that guy. When he breaks, what does it matter? You throw him away. Like a toy you get when you take your kid to the circus. Everybody has those little lash-up flighty, those little flashy light-up toys. You know that toy's not going to last you 3 months, but you know what? In the meantime, your kid's going to have a fit. If you don't get him that toy, you got to buy it, and when it breaks later, you'll deal with it then. That's how we talked about running backs when Isaiah Pacheco first started his career. Man, the league has changed a lot in the 4 years since Isaiah Pacheco has been there. Man, look at these other teams in the National Football League. Man, nobody is just throwing out there a seventh-round pick at running back and hoping for the best. That's not the way the league is in 2026. Look at Seattle. Look at Chicago. Look at Philadelphia. Look at the Rams. Look at these teams that you think can win the Super Bowl. Man, nobody right now has the turn and burn. We're not going to spend resources at the running back position. And when it breaks, oh, well, we'll just start over. No, teams are building their offense around the ability to run the football and incorporating that guy into things that you want to do. So the Isaiah Pacheco model, it actually worked in 2022. Hey, Why would you spend a high draft pick? Man, you can find a running back anywhere. They're a dime a dozen. We just like there were coins in the couch. And no, they're not. Not the ones that you want to keep and not the ones that you think are going to hold up over their rookie contract. And now I think in hindsight, you know exactly why Isaiah Pacheco was a seventh round pick. For a guy who was very productive, you can certainly see how a guy like that falls through the cracks. Doesn't really have a lot of home run speed, but boy, does he try hard. And you want to root for a guy like that. You want to root for a guy who runs hard, who puts his shoulder down, who's willing to put his body on the line. But in some ways, ultimately, I mean, can't you argue that cost him his career? Isaiah Pacheco ain't got too much longer in the league. Isaiah Pacheco ain't playing 10 years in the National Football League. Isaiah Pacheco has maybe two, maybe three more years left in the league. But boy, when you were good, when you were healthy, before you broke down, you were a productive player. You weren't a superstar running back by any means, but you certainly were a good 1A, 1B type running back. You were a thunder and lightning, part of a combination kind of running back. And again, for the 251st overall pick to be a guy who runs for 935 yards, even with the information that we have about how the second half of that contract went, Isaiah Pacheco's draft was an A. The drafting of Isaiah Pacheco, the draft grade, I would give an A. The fact that you spent that little of a resource and you got that level of production for the first 2 years at his position, it is an A draft pick in my mind.
I agree. And so the text line points out that we were hard on Isaiah Pacheco all year. Yes, we absolutely were. Well, because he was a symptom of the larger disease. We were hard on him because even me, who hates running back, all offseason, like, hey, I don't know if Pacheco and Hunt is enough. Lo and behold, it wasn't enough. I hope that's not how fans remember him, though. Isaiah Pacheco's failures in 2025 as a season with the Chiefs and the run game and all those things are not things I'm putting at Isaiah Pacheco's feet. And maybe that's unfair by me. Maybe I'm being an apologist, and that's fine. But the run game failures of 2025, they fall at Brett Veach's feet.
I agree.
So Isaiah Pacheco being bad this year, I feel bad for the guy. He clearly rushed back from injury. He was never right after injury. All the things you said. But I personally, I can't speak for Chiefs fans, am not going to say, man, the run game stunk, and that falls on Pacheco. Uh-uh. In my mind, the run game stunk because they relied too heavily on Pacheco, and that reliance stemmed from the general manager drafted a seventh-round converted wide receiver, signed a decrepit Kareem Hunt, and said, Isaiah will be healthy, let's go get him. That's where the run game failures are for me. So, yes, the texter says the drive was hard on Pacheco all season. Maybe it came off that way. I can only speak for me. We were hard on Brett Veach for not doing enough. It wasn't a failure by Isaiah Pacheco.
And I also think in these that the answer can be both. I mean, you don't win the World Series without Alex Gordon. He also is a reason why things went so poorly after the run had ended. You don't win the Super Bowl without the productivity of Isaiah Pacheco. A major reason of why the Chiefs missed the playoffs this year was they continued to believe in Isaiah Pacheco. Both of those things can be true when it comes to him. Isaiah Pacheco was a really good draft pick for the Chiefs that, again, it was over, and they just didn't see that it was over when it was obvious that it was over. It was clear. Whenever the 2024 season ended, at the end of his third year, it was obvious that the Chiefs had gotten everything they could get out of Isaiah Pacheco. That was it. This was not a relationship. This was a fling. That's what it was. This was a summer fling. You guys were not meant to be together once you guys went back to your regular lives. No, this was a really cool summer thing. Now you try to do the long distance and wait, hold on. No, it just wasn't going to work the same anymore. So, yeah, I'm with you. I was hard on Isaiah Pacheco this year. He had a terrible final year with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they wasted a lot of everybody's time by giving him carries. But now that it's over, we get the ability to step back and look back and just, he was put to me in an impossible situation. The Chiefs' entire run game plan in 2025 was hoping Isaiah Pacheco could bounce back to what he was. They were wrong. They were not close to being right. They didn't move like an organization that moved differently. Everything they did this offseason in relation to the run game was based off they thought they were going to get 2022 Isaiah Pacheco back, and they didn't get that version back. I want to play for you guys what Nate Taylor had to say. He was on the midday show earlier today. He was asked about the opening right now that the Chiefs have an offensive coordinator. Here's what Nate Taylor had to say.
Number one is you have to be the right companion for Andy. Andy's going to scheme guys open. That's just a fact, right? So as offensive coordinator, my belief is, how do we get these things to mirror? How do we get these things to match, to synchronize once again in the running game, in the specialty plays, in the red zone, short yardage? The creativity has been lacking, I think, especially in the red zone. And that was something that If Chiefs fans remember, they were excellent in like that 2020, 2021, 2022 era of them just being excellent in the red zone. So Andy's always going to be pass first. We understand that. It's a passing league. He's got the best quarterback we've ever seen play the position. But you still have to have a number of diverse variety of ways to run the ball well, to have things, again, match up so that it's not as easy for the defense to decipher certain things in terms of not being as predictable. And so that's where you work with Andy in terms of the game plan on a week-to-week basis and obviously the scheme that you're developing from essentially after the combine all the way up until, you know, week one.
So you're saying job one is refine the scheme.
You just have to be the right partner, right?
I have no inside knowledge. If I did, I would tell you. I think right now you have to consider Cliff Kingsbury to be the Vegas favorite to be the Chiefs' new offensive coordinator.
I don't feel that way at all.
You don't?
I don't feel that way at all.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, you're good.
I think if you open FanDuel right now and you said who's the betting favorite between the Chiefs' offensive coordinator, Mike Kafka is the overwhelming betting favorite. I don't know that Andy wants to shake it up the way Cliff Kingsbury would shake it up.
That's interesting because this is why I feel opposite. So I'm happy to have this conversation. I think there are certain people that when you get to a level of position at your job, you can be the one to make this is a me call. I think that Patrick Mahomes is at the stage in his career that if the Chiefs are looking for a new offensive coordinator, his voice is the loudest. And we know about the relationship with him and Cliff Kingsbury. If Pat goes to his boss and says, this is what I want, I think they are inclined to listen to what he has to say. Now, maybe he doesn't have that conversation, and I don't know. That's a private conversation between them. Maybe he feels more strongly about Mike Kafka. But right now, you have an opening at offensive coordinator, and you've got the number one quarterback in the National Football League. Man, if Patrick Mahomes calls Andy Reid on the phone and says, hey, coach, let me talk to you for a bit. I've really given this some thought, and I want Cliff Kingsbury to be the offensive coordinator. I think if you're Clark Hunt, you need to hire him. Now, how much is he willing to go back? Rob, you and I know, this is like everybody's job. There's some things you're willing to fight for. There's some things you're not willing to fight for. There's some things I suggest that, hey, cool, spec, you make a decision. There's some things I'm putting my foot down. No, this is what we're doing today. How strongly does Pat feel about Cliff Kingsbury being their next offensive coordinator, I think is it. But if Cliff Kingsbury is available, at a minimum, Patrick Mahomes' endorsement gets him an interview. Patrick Mahomes' endorsements get you in front of Andy Reid, get you in front of Brett Veach, and now you can communicate how you could possibly make this thing work. To me, you owe it to Pat to at least sit down and really consider Cliff Kingsbury to end up being your next offensive coordinator.
So I agree with you there. I think if Pat calls Andy or Brett or Clark, I don't know how the power structure works, Pat just calls and says, you need to get him an interview, he will get an interview.
100%.
I just don't think philosophically he gels with Andy Reid enough for Andy Reid to say, yep, that's the offensive coordinator. I also don't know that outside of Patrick Mahomes, why Cliff Kingsbury would want this job. Everywhere he's been, he's called plays. Let me tell you what he's not doing in Kansas City. I don't know who the next OC is. Mike Kafka, Eric Bieniemy, Cliff Kingsbury, Nathan Shielhouse. I mean, there are a lot of names, a lot of options. Brian Daboll, John Gruden. We can name a bunch of people who could be OC. I know what the next OC is not doing in Kansas City. Calling plays. Andy Reid is not 60-whatever years old with that giant play sheet and all those Super Bowl rings in the twilight of his career, the last 3 to 5 years coaching, going to say, you know what? I've enjoyed calling plays for Brett Favre, Donovan McNabb, Patrick Mahomes, Alex Smith. I'm just going to stop doing that. I'm out. That no longer into that side of the business. No chance he's giving that up. So I don't know that Cliff would want this job because he calls plays, and I don't know that that Kansas City and Andy Reid want someone that calls plays because he wants that part of the job, which is why I think you usually find an Andy Reid disciple returning to the nest, so to speak. It's been Doug Peterson. It's been Matt Nagy twice. It's been Eric Bieniemy. I don't think they're going to shake it up and be like, ooh, it's time to get a guy who is totally different and is going to want to call plays. That would surprise me at an OC hire.
Let me ask you this. I'm happy we're having this conversation because I think this is a very good conversation. What if Cliff Kingsbury is their Jock Vaughn? Now, you know the Kansas power structure much better than I do, but I think it is very obvious. Bill's not doing the same stuff that he was 10 years ago. Bill physically is in a different place. mentally, Bill talks about the end more than he ever has in his Kansas career, which makes sense given his age. Man, Andy Reid is 68 years old. I don't know if Andy has five more years of this thing left. He's maybe got two or three more years left. Like, do we think that Andy's coaching in the new stadium? 2031, do you think Andy Reid coaches a game in the new Chiefs stadium? I would say right now the money is on no. I don't think he's coaching a new guy. That's five more seasons. I don't think he's doing that. So if that's the case, could you see a scenario in the Chiefs bring in a Cliff Kingsbury, somebody that Mahomes feels very comfortable with, Andy does start to transition some of the power away for himself to empower the Chiefs and set themselves up for what life after him looks like. You bring in Cliff Kingsbury. He has a little bit more responsibility, a little bit more play calling duty. Andy comes a little bit more of a CEO overseer type over everything. And in 3 years, you make the transition. So the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, who has a great relationship with Patrick Mahomes, is now ready and stepped up, and now he's ready to be and get another chance as a head coach in the National Football League. That doesn't sound to me like a bad power structure. And if I'm Clark Hunt, you could definitely sell me on in 2.0 of Patrick Mahomes' career, you give me a proven offensive coordinator. There's no question about his ability to call plays and develop offense. He's done it now in multiple situations and helped develop multiple quarterbacks. What if that's the plan for the Chiefs moving forward?
I think it's a fine analogy and it makes sense. The Bill Self to Andy Reid makes total sense to me. I think the major difference is Bill Self has talked about the end, and you said it there. Bill Self has talked about eventually not being the coach at Kansas, partly because of his health, whatever. I don't think it's this year or next year, but I think he sees it on the horizon. Andy Reid, every time he's asked about it, kind of nonchalant, laughs it off, like, as long as they'll have me, I'll keep doing this. Maybe behind closed doors, Andy is having conversations about the end with, you know, Brett Veach, Clark Hunt, whomever. He is not having those conversations out in the public the way Bill Self is. So I can only take Andy Reid from the public perception we get of him, which he doesn't feel like a guy who's, at least energy-wise, wanting to shut it down. So does he want to bring in a heir apparent type when, if his entire coaching career, he's brought in the I oversee the offense and you report to me guy? So again, I think that's why it's a little different, Bill Self to Andy Reid. Bill Self talks about this openly. Andy Reid doesn't. I don't know what happens over at One Arrowhead Drive at 5 a.m. when he's having his coaches meetings with, you know, the guys. Is he talking about the end? But public speaking, he always talks about, well, as long as they'll have me, I'll just keep doing it. So that doesn't sound like a guy who's nearing the end.
This is where I'll give Andy a little bit of credit, and I think we are discrediting Andy just a bit. I think Andy is somebody who clearly empowers people. Like, you don't have the reputation that you have in the league. You don't have the coaching tree that you have in the National Football League if you don't empower people. I just don't think that maybe he is as stubborn as we are saying in some of the commentary that I'm seeing on the text line. For example, to continue with the Kansas comparison and the analogy that we're going through, Kansas's offense is drastically different now than it was 10 years ago. Rob, you remember when we first started, Bill was about the high-low. You remember that? It was about having a really good 4-5, getting it to the high post, dumping it down, and Kansas had bigs. Basketball changed. So you know what that meant? Kansas had to change. Kansas was usually the program that would get the kids out of high school and have them stay for 3 years and grow and develop. And you've seen that Kansas, like other programs, have had to kind of shift on the fly. Greatness usually requires a shift in you staying modern and current and keeping up with the times. So at least for me, I don't know how you can have the track record that Andy Reid has and has had for the last 25 years of the National Football League and you not be open to new ideas. It just seems impossible to me to be in that position. So I'm not saying that now Andy is turning over everything and now just sitting back and kicking up his feet. But if Andy is the coach that I think he is and one of the five greatest coaches of the National Football League, there has to be a measure of self-evaluation that has to be going on inside that organization to see what they can do to get this thing around. And we talk a lot about how Travis doesn't want to end on this. You want to end like this if you're Andy Reid? You got fired from one place, and if you miss the playoffs this upcoming year, some of you will start to say that the game has passed Andy by and he needs to be fired. for everything that you've done for a city. You are 17 games away from people saying you should be fired from your current job and you're an old dinosaur. You got to be willing to listen, in my opinion, if you're Andy Reid. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to head out to Topeka and learn more about the stadium setup, both with the Chiefs and the Royals. Coming up on the other side, Rob, our first story of 2026. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for K-State Athletics. 96.5, The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right. Now, I want to give this disclaimer. I don't know if this story happened or not. I have absolutely no clue. But I do think that this is a situation that enough of us have been in the situation that seems very important to have the conversation. So, Rob, this was the story that was presented. I didn't really feel like telling you to put, I could just tell you the story. So you and I know, Rob, that if a group of girls goes out, most of the time, the place is going to let them in for free, right? Like, you want the baddies in there. You want the cute girls in there. You want to take care of them, give them a section, because that means more people are coming, you know? In this situation, Rob, the club let in some of the girls in the group, but told a couple of the other girls that they had to pay because they didn't fit whatever standards that it was. So the group was deciding whether or not they were going to split the amount of money that the club was going to charge the other two girls to pay to get into the club. The other two girls decided to not pay and just went back to the hotel to enjoy the rest of their day. Rob, this is my question to you. What do you do in this scenario? Because I think the male equivalent would be, have you ever been in a situation where one of your friends didn't have their ID? Have you been out before, and let's say it's you and a couple of guys, you and, you know, a group of the homies, and you're trying to go into the establishment, and then Tim realizes that Tim left his wallet at home. What do you do in this scenario? Because I think you got to go by Wedding Crashers rule. There's no man left behind. if I go into this thing, we all are going into this thing. We're not going into a situation where three of us are going in. One of you has to now figure out what to do to pass the time. No, it's one for all and all for one. If I'm walking in this club, then we're all walking in this club. Have you ever found yourself in this situation?
I have not found myself in this situation. Okay. I will say, I have, but it's been a long time. Not as an adult. In college, this came up a lot. You know, you go out in college as like a group. Maybe like not one or two, it's like a wolf pack. You're like 8-10 deep.
Yeah, for sure.
If we were all going to, I went to Kansas, so I'll use a Kansas bar. If we were all going to the wheel, it was not going to be like, hey, we got room for five and three guys got to figure it out. Like, no, we got eight.
Yeah, we got eight for sure.
We are coming in as a group of eight, or we are all waiting outside until a group of eight can go in.
Let me ask you this question, though, because speaking of Kansas, we could now make it a sports-related thing. You definitely have been in a situation where there's eight of you and there's only five spots in the GA. How are you? Are now none of you standing there to watch the game, or are you telling some people to go there and then the other part of the group has to now figure out where we're going to stand, where we're going to finesse, and how we're going to see some of this game? Because I imagine you've been in this situation too.
That's actually a great point, because I think we operated differently for different situations.
See?
When we're going to the Hawk, it's all for one, one for all. KU's playing Baylor on Big Monday. First five over here. They're getting the five tickets. That's how that's going to shake out. Hey, you want to sit in this section right behind the basket with us and be on ESPN? First five, come down. Next three, you can be up in the rafters up there watching this game. But I think for the go to the club analogy, it is all for one and one for all, which is why I am team go as a group, stay as a group, especially, you know, as an adult, you go to a bachelor party or a guy's weekend or a golf trip or something like that. You can't be operating like those two are going to do that. Those three are going to do that. No, we are a unit. We are a collective.
Someone said, so how did the story with the girls end? That's how the story ended. The story ended of, at least how I heard the story on TikTok. There were five girls. Three of the girls got into the club for free. It sounds like the other two girls were maybe a little heavier set. The club was going to then charge those girls to go into the club and then not charge the other girls. So the two girls just went home. The two girls just said,
that's bad work by those three girls.
100%.
Those three girls got to flex their muscle. Hey, if you want us three, those two are coming too. It's not, well, sorry to those two.
Crazy.
Sorry, Sally. Sorry, Jane. You guys are headed home, but we're headed in. You got to be like, you want us three? You're bringing those two in with us as opposed to, tough break. See you later. That's foul work by the girls.
I wouldn't even feel right knowing that my homegirl is now taking the Uber back to the hotel and I'm in here having a good time. Like, that don't even feel right to me. No, not at all. I can't support that. Not at all. I do want to play this for you, and I only want to play this is because I have been asked so much about this clip over the last 2 days. People called my personal phone, not the text line. People called my personal phone that I know in real life, Carrington, what's going on? And I had to tell them all, I don't know. Now, Rob, I have not heard this Bob Fesco audio about Patrick Mahomes. I have been told about the audio regarding Patrick Mahomes from Bob Fesco, but I've not heard it from myself, so I don't know the tone. I don't know the context. I know that it's got some of you all ablaze. Now, I love Bob Fesco. On a personal level, I love him as a friend. He's also a colleague, so I can only say so much on that side, and I also have never heard the audio. Why don't we listen to it together, shall we?
Here's the thing also that I heard over the holiday. They better win fast. Otherwise, 15 will be asking for a trade.
Oh.
And you're going to be moving into a new stadium asking for PSLs. And if this team is not putting together the product that is necessary, I am told 15 will be asking for that trade. He is not going to sit here and watch this organization dissipate around him. The Kansas City Chiefs right now are in no position to allow this thing to dissipate. They may take a step back before they take a step forward in 27, but they're not playing with time on their side right now. It's not okay to go into a lull if you're the Chiefs and say, oh, by the way, it's time to ante up for PSLs and tickets to a brand new stadium. They need to keep winning, because if they don't, people will lose interest and they'll have a tough time marketing that new stadium.
I understand the dynamic of the station and the dynamic of our relationship. I'm not even saying that Bob didn't hear this, or I'm not saying any of that. I don't want none of that to get back, because that's not in my heart right now. But no. There's no scenario in which Patrick Mahomes would come to me as the Kansas City Chiefs and say, hey, I'm unhappy here. Why don't you trade me? Get back to work. That's what I would say. I'm not even listening. No. Pat, we've done everything for you over the last 10 years. You have the best contract in all of professional football. It's fully guaranteed. We will renegotiate it whenever you ask. We have accommodated everything for you. We've stood by you. Stand by us. So, I mean, maybe that's even what has happened. Like, maybe Mahomes is saying, hey, they better get right or I'm going to ask for a trade. Then I would just look Mahomes in the face and say, so, no. No, we're not trading you. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to pout your way out of town? Of course not. So, no, I just, now that I've heard it in its context and not just reading it online or having other people tell me about the quote, my answer would be very simple. We're not trading you. Just because someone asks for something doesn't mean you got to give it to them. Some of you are parents. I mean, your kids ask for things. Do you automatically give it to them? What's the penalty when you say no? Hey, mom, I want a new iPhone. No. Keep using the phone you got. So, no, I'm not trading Patrick Mahomes. There's no scenario in which I would trade a 30-year-old or 30-something-year-old Patrick Mahomes. So I don't need to spend too much time on this. I heard it. I've given my opinion. Oh, what do you think about? Now you know what I think. No, that's just no.
I agree with you. I also, now having heard it.
I hadn't heard it. This is my first time hearing it.
I heard it earlier today when I put it in the folder, but I saw it on, you know, whatever those, you know, Chiefs blogs are that have like the graphics. People are like thinking this is an incendiary comment. It's really not. It would not surprise me if things get really bad in Kansas City, which I don't anticipate them happening. But as Bob said, if things really dissipate, yeah, the star player might be upset that they're 4-13 every year.
For
That's
sure.
a duh moment to me. Hey, if things are bad in 26, 27, 28, and 29, is Patrick Mahomes going to be happy? No. Like, Joe Burrow's probably not happy right now. You want to know why? They're losing. But exactly what you said. If Patrick Mahomes, after four bad seasons, came to me and said, hey, we stink. What are you going to do about it? Or trade me? I'd be like, here's what we're going to do about it. Go back to work. But I don't understand how this comment became such fodder on social media. Good player wants team to be good. Should not be this, can you believe so-and-so said that? We just saw a whole documentary a couple of summers ago where Michael Jordan was obsessed with winning and literally was more content to retire than be on a team that had to rebuild. I don't know why good player wants to be on good team. It was a shock to people.
We don't got to spend too much time on this. Patrick Mahomes is way too brand conscious to ask for a trade. Can you imagine, like, you guys love Patrick Mahomes unconditionally. Love Patrick Mahomes. Tomorrow, if Patrick Mahomes just randomly went up to one of you and said, you know what, I need your ACL, you'd give it to him. There's nothing Pat could ask you for that you wouldn't give to him. Can you imagine pissing a group of people off that have given you everything and just saying, hey, you guys stink now. I don't want to be on your team anymore. I cannot think of anything worse for the brand. I cannot think of it. If that happens, that place is going to be called 87 Prime. They can't even call it 15 no more after that. No, I do not think that Patrick Mahomes at any point in his career is going to ask for a trade. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to go to the Kansas State Capitol, learn more about the stadium. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.